Hey there, aliens, ghosts, and robots. It's Keith, and welcome back to episode 2 of An Invisible Sun. Please bear with me, I have a small cold today. I got a nice email from a fan recently. Jody wrote to me asking a question about writing. He wanted to know if a good story had to have its major plot event early, or was it okay if a story took a while to get there? My advice is that you do need to put something in the story early to make the listener want to keep listening, questions a listener wants answered. But these hooks or forwards don't have to be the main plot. They can be small or more character motivated. But this usually means there has to be some sort of conflict, something to give the protagonist some stakes. Characters with nothing to lose aren't very interesting for long. So, you can hold off on your big plot reveal if you want, but do give your character something to fight for, even something small, early on. Thanks for the question, Jody. And if you want to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. Drop me an email or join me on my Discord server. You can find links to those at invisiblesunpod.com or alienghostrobot.com. Let's get into today's episode. Thanks for listening. An Invisible Sun by W. Keith Timms. Chapter 2. Venturing out requires a bit of preparation. You need armor against the weather, the sunlight, the people. My armor was a treated canvas hat and overcoat, and my filter mask, of course. And the world is worse when it rains, as it did the next morning, when, achy and exhausted, I maneuvered my way through the Atlanta streets toward the train station. Around me, the throng of faceless commuters jostled and shoved, obscured under their filter masks, protective eyewear, and umbrellas. The rain was oppressive, and the milky drops left an oily grit over everything. Nerve-wracking. One must be careful. To be fair, while there's always the possibility of getting mugged, or yelled at by protesters, or proselytized by fanatics, I think most of the people are just in a hurry, eager to get out of the hot, packed streets, away from the tumult and the traffic. Everyone's on edge. Warm rain drizzled on my shoulders and ran from the brim of my hat. The sidewalk was slick with a rainbow-like patina. Even focused on trying to move with the crowd, every so often I still get bumped by people in a greater hurry than I. Behind me, police sirens approached, growing louder. Not uncommon, but not a good sign. A blast of wind sent us ducking and covering. Two police hover cars roar past overhead, their fans spewing rainwater in needle-like drops in all directions, sirens ear-splitting. They turned out of sight near All Saints Transit Station, my destination. Damn. All Saints is essentially a large open concrete park with subway tunnels below. Concrete blocks guided us toward the fair gates, a dozen abreast. Over it all, high on a pedestal, a pitted and corroded statue of a half-nude angel lifts her arms heavenward, wings spread out behind her. Years of polluted rain have erased her face and made mittens of her hands. There are a few low, short steps leading up to the gates, which, in turn, lead down to the train platforms. But now the statue was lit up with the strobing lights of police drones, that hovered above the people below. Ahead, there's the sound of struggle. Some sort of argument with raised voices and barked orders. And strangely, moaning and keening. Was someone hurt? The crowd bunched up as we approached the fair gates, but progress was stalled, slowed, erratic. I was carried forward, whether I wanted to be or not, by the people pushing in behind me. Amplified voices blasted from behind. Cops on headsets.
Get out of the way!
The police officers fought their way through the throng, wearing body armor and full helmets. I tried to catch a glimpse of what lay ahead, but all I saw was the shifting crowd and the blitz of a police drone's lights.
What's going on?
I asked a person in the crowd next to me. My voice was muffled by my mask. The voice that came back sounded like a woman's. Such uncertainties are common in the sea of shapeless clothing and hidden faces.
Protesters,
she said, her contempt audible even through her bulky rubber mask. Then, as if those words freed others inside her, she shouted toward the front of the crowd.
We're just trying to get to work, assholes!
We were shuffling forward, but I still couldn't make out what was going on. But at least a few people were making it past whatever is holding us up.
What are they protesting?
Does it matter?
I don't blame her. The question seems foolish, I suppose. But then she was done with me and was yelling again.
Move it!
A knot of people ahead of me slid forward, and it was then I got my first look at the disturbance. It was some sort of protest, true enough, but it took me a moment to figure it out. Several people are lying on the steps leading to the station's entrance, wrapped in sheets and blocking the way. Around them were a group of others wearing white drapes and holding signs that read PLAGUE in dripping black letters. A couple of the white-clad women knelt among the sheet-covered people, keening loudly, rocking back and forth as if in the throes of funerary despair. The police were methodically grabbing these people and hustling them off to one side. Occasionally, the hissing crack of a stun baton sounded, and a protester fell, crying out in pain. The people lying on the steps weren't merely covered in the sheets. They had been sewn into them. The rain soaked them, and the fabric clung to their bodies. They seemed naked underneath, and the wet sheets rendered their features abstract and terrible, as if so many corpses from the morgue had been deposited on the steps. They twisted and writhed in faux reanimation. Some commuters were braving the scene and walking over, or occasionally stepping on, the simulated horrors. Being sewn into the sheets has the side effect of making the protesters inside unable to stand and walk, so police picked them up and carried them, head and foot, to stack them along a wall, completing the illusion that these were dead bodies. My heart raced. I wanted to go, to run, find a different way to work. But not only was I pinned in by the crowd, but there were those signs. PLAGUE. The letters streaked and ran in the rain. Black tendrils dripping along white boards. And all I thought of was the line of blood on my arm last night. The moaning corpses squirmed on the steps. The kneeling women shrieked with arms lifted toward the heavens. At the top of the stairs, a man with a neatly trimmed beard and thick glasses, his lenses spattered with rain, held aloft his sign and shouts at us in a reedy voice. There was both anger and fear in his voice. The police hadn't gotten to him yet, but his turn was coming, and he knew it.
How many people must suffer? How many people are dying in secret?
A plague. Was this what I was sick with? Or was this hyperbole, some cry for attention or a spurious rumor? There's a lot of sickness in the world. The insomnia, new strains of flu, resurgence of rickets and pellagra. Plenty of pestilence to go around without the need for hysterical invention. Behind the shouting man, another man stood, neither holding a sign nor shouting. Not police, nor a commuter. He must be part of this protest group, even though he merely watched. He was thickly muscled and olive-skinned, covered in a riot of tattoos over his face, neck, and arms, most abstract and tribal in nature. Maori, perhaps? Unlike the chaos around him, he was stoic and implacable, watching with intent, dark eyes. He was an oddity here. I was at the edge of the steps now, pushed inexorably forward by the mob. Shouts came from behind me, muffled by masks. The crowd wanted me to move. The women mourned their simulated dead. The police swung their batons. The protesters yelled at everyone, at me. But I stood there, facing the man with the glasses, trying to catch his eye. I called, but no one heard my muffled voice, buried by noise.
What? Plague?
Someone shoved me hard. I fell, feet slipping on wet stone, and there was a bright bite of pain as my hip and head knocked against the steps. Bitter rain splashed my face. My face mask had come off and my hat rolled away, vanishing under the feet of the crowd. The chaos washed over me, swallowed me. I reached out, trying to find something with which to right myself, and my hand fell upon one of the wet, sheet-clad people on the steps. The shock, expecting cold stone and feeling warm flesh. The vague face, this corpse, seemed to stare at me, groaning in a high, soft voice. Without my mask, I bathed in the smell of sulfurous rain and sweaty bodies. The crowd surged forward like a dam breaking, a blur of legs and coattails rushing past me. One man climbed the steps and took a moment to deliberately kick one of the corpses before moving on. The commuters weren't waiting for the police anymore. Someone's heel came down on my hand, pinning me down, hurting like hell. No one can hear me. Someone else stomped on the corpse above me. It doubled over in pain and rolled down the steps. There was nothing I could do. The wet and writhing body fell atop me like a slaughtered animal, kicking and moaning. I struggled, but my lungs burned from the polluted air. The stone was slick under me. Nothing to hold onto, nothing to grip. Someone kicked me in the side. Another shoe grazed my head. I was drowning. A strong hand grabbed my own. Space opened up around me, and a shape interposed itself between the crowd and me. Someone scooped up the protester and eased them off me. A second powerful hand gripped the front of my shirt and pulled me effortlessly to my feet. It's the tattooed man. He looked me dead in the eyes, his expression serious and calm. He had a strong jaw and cheekbones, accentuated by the swirl of his markings. I half noticed a different sort of tattoo on his throat, a circle of triangles that might suggest a sun.
Are you okay?
All I could do for a moment is stare. I didn't have my balance yet. Every breath burned my lungs. My sides, my head, my hand all throbbed. I envied his poise. How did the man negotiate the chaos so easily? How is it he stood in the sea of shouting and violence and seemed so unperturbed and unafraid? He was waiting for me to answer. I mutely nodded to him.
Good.
He was like a rock in a river, Both pedestrians and police moved around him as he sheltered the sheet-covered protester he'd rescued and kept me secure on my feet. He picked up my filter mask and passed it to me.
Here.
As I fumbled it back on, fingers trembling, he nodded at me in a silent dismissal and turned to tend to the woman in the sheet at his feet. I could tell she was a woman now. She moved weakly, and there were bloodstains spreading across parts of the sheet. The tattooed man crouched over her, murmuring, cradling her head. The police were closer now. They grabbed one of the keening women, and her wails became a scream, spurring me to move. I stumbled away, up the steps, through the fare gates, and down into the station, out of the rain. The adrenaline had its hooks in me. I got out of the way of the crowd and leaned against a grimy wall, pulling off my mask to breathe in some filtered air and try to get myself together. Flexed my fingers. Nothing broken, it seems. Deep breaths to calm my racing heart. The other commuters ignored me, leaving me to my crisis alone. But they scrambled as a pair of police officers in riot gear manhandled the bearded protester, the one who had been shouting at the crowd. He was struggling against them like a wild animal.
You killed us all. We're all sick. We're all dead.
One of the police officers applied the end of his stun baton to the man. An electric crack filled the air, followed by another and another. The man convulsed, spittle flying from his lips, and went limp. They hauled him away to some holding area. I ran my aching fingers through my wet hair, tried to straighten my clothes. If I could just get to my office at the university, I could regroup, get a handle on all this, make sense of it. I was as together as I was going to get for now. So I rejoined the stream of commuters and descended down to the tracks. Down on the platform, blue-white radiance comes from everywhere and nowhere. Advertisements are ubiquitous, covering nearly every inch of the walls, selling drugs and distractions. All the answers to life's problems only money can buy. High overhead, a holographic map of the transit system hangs in the air. The glowing dot of the next eastbound train is only a few minutes away, thankfully. The maglev train track perfectly bisects the station, a deep channel running into black tunnels leading off in opposite directions. Along the ground of the channel is a powerfully electrified rail. When charged, that rail contains enough electricity to create a magnetic field that the subway cars can float upon. It would, of course, kill a person instantly if she or he fell onto it or deliberately touched it. My eyes linger on the rail of metal down there in the train track. It would be so easy. The warning chime would sound. The track would become electrified a few seconds ahead of the oncoming train. All I would have to do is step off, reach out a hand, and the train would take care of the rest. I have thought of this many times before today. It might be easier than whatever it is I have, whatever it is that's wrong with me. One step. But I won't take it. A single step, something done hundreds of times a day without a thought. But that's because those steps don't have consequences like this one would. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe every step we take has consequences we can't see. If we could, we'd stand still our whole lives, petrified at the cascade of events unleashed by a single step. A light appeared down the tunnel. I felt the deep and powerful hum through the soles of my shoes as the maglev track becomes electrified. A few sparks shot off the rail and added a scent of ozone to the air. Just one step. That's all it would take. But I didn't. Because it's the questions that keep me here. The signs said plague in dripping black letters. Well, at least my day couldn't get any worse. An Invisible Sun is written, produced, performed, and composed by W. Keith Timms, and is a production of Alien Ghost Robot Creative Media. If you're enjoying the story, please tell your friends and family about it, and leave stars or reviews on your favorite podcast platforms. I hope you'll join us on our Discord server, or sign up for our mailing list so we can stay in touch. Members of our Patreon get to hear future episodes early, plus other cool perks for all our shows. Go to InvisibleSunPod.com for more information.